Emergency. Emergency. Emergency.
This is Pure Decking Thursday, September something, the year something. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and realizing I didn't hit the record button right away as opposed to doing half the show before I realized it. I'm Morps. Tonight I have Are You? I am drinking Red Stag. What are you up to?
I've got a nice glass of organic Gatorade. Yes, they make organic Gatorade now.
Oh, shit, you know, that's amazing.
You can buy organic Gatorade. I don't actually have any. I just found it amusing that you'd go, Gatorade. Oh, I'm going to go for the healthy option. I'll go organic.
Yes, yes. Tell us how you the organic sources of the potassium and sodium and all the other chemicals they put in that shit.
Yeah, is there a Gatorade animal or a Gatorade bush?
You can see here as we milk the genetically engineered Gatorade cows. It was cheaper to engineer a cow to make Gatorade than it was to keep making the stuff regular. So,
yeah, I can envision that, you know, some sort of dystopian farm-punking future. Cows have berries growing off them.
Jeez, be like the mushrooms from Minecraft or whatever the hell those things are.
Oh, yeah. You know, first country to ever have that shit's going to be Korea.
Which one?
Either one. Roll a dice. But I'm going with South at the moment.
Yeah, I would too.
But then again, with all the nuclear tests the North have been doing, who knows what's going to happen to their animals.
I still love the surface detonation
away from tentacle porn.
Yeah, that's true. Although I doubt it's tentacle porn. Porn's illegal in North Korea. Like, you can get shot for looking at porn up there.
You get shot for not having the right haircut.
That's true. That's also true. Although I still like the gif of they're testing, the Korean military is testing their missile, and so the guy runs over and stomps on it. It goes 3 feet in the air, and they all clap. That's
Yeah.
So let's get to our discussion article here. And this to me is interesting. And it's from Schneier on security. And I like Bruce Schneier. He writes good stuff. But I don't normally cover his posts because so many news sources quote him. And it's hard to... You know, when I copied the link for this earlier this week when he first posted it and I first read it. But since then, I've seen like 5 or 6 articles trying to reinterpret what he's saying here. And most of them, I don't know, seem like they don't quite get it right. So I'm just going to go back to the original blog posting. So what did he write? Over the past year or two, someone has been probing the defenses of the companies that run critical pieces of the internet. These probes take the form of precisely calibrated attacks designed to determine exactly how well these companies can defend themselves and what would be required to take them down. We don't know who is doing this, but it feels like a nation state. China or Russia would be my first guess. Or Schneier's first guess, I should say. First, a little background. If you want to take down a network take a network off the internet, the easiest way to do it is with a distributed denial of service attack. The attack is designed to prevent legitimate users from using the site. Yeah, it's a bandwidth blasting. If the attackers have more bandwidth than the defenders, they win. Recently, some of the major companies that provide basic infrastructure that makes the internet work have seen an increase in DDoS attacks against them. Moreover, they've seen a certain profile of attack. They're significantly larger than the ones they're used to seeing. They last longer, and they're more sophisticated. They look like probing. 1 week, the attack would start at a particular level of attack and slowly ramp up before stopping. The next week, it starts at the higher point and then continues. And so on along these lines if they are looking for the exact point of failure. The attacks are also configured in such a way as to see what the company's total defenses are. Many ways to launch DDoS attacks, blah, 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 blah. So... he goes on talking about, he mentions that some of his sources are incompetent, so he's not going to talk about where they came from, but pretty much they're seeing DDoS and other style of attack that are, they're almost like they're moving up the scale, trying to figure out, okay, where's the exact point of failure? What is the exact point of defense? It's not, and they're doing attacks such that they're trying to get these companies like VeriSign, and VeriSign's the big target, of course, but a few of the others, infrastructure providers, backbone providers, they're trying to kind of get an idea, you know, trying to get them to do everything they can do to defend so they can baseline it. Like, this is classic science. Like, okay,
Yeah. We're
going to start pumping up and see where it is. And Schneier's right. Most criminal or activist groups, when they're DDoSing, they're not measuring how much they're putting out. They're usually just trying to take it down, so they're throwing as much as they can at it.
Yeah, and they're not targeting individual parts of the network.
Yeah, this seems more like they're targeting parts and they're slowly turning up the dial, trying to figure out where it's going to break.
It's almost like line probing in the front
exactly. Rows.
You know,
that's exactly what it is.
It's interesting.
So that's a military tactic. That's not an activist or a hacker tactic.
No.
So that's why he's saying it's a nation state, is he's looking purely at the tactics involved here. And the fact that somebody's got enough bandwidth to make VeriSign, you know, twinge is kind of interesting.
either that or there's some shadow organization like Spectre out there with billions of dollars.
Well, yeah. I mean, it could be somebody pumping tons of money into it. More likely they're getting control of some of these botnets. They're saying it's, the problem with DDoS is it's very hard to attribute to a source, because 9 times out of 10 DDoS is reflected or it's using bots. Like, the original source never hits the target. It's always, so you got to figure out the CNC channel or figure out the commonality of your attacker, which if you have all your users trying to hit at the same time too, that becomes very difficult.
How do we know this is not tit for tat within the service industry itself?
It very well could be.
They're both like trying to, like, all the companies having a go at each other. Look, we're better than them. We're better than them. We can survive longer and longer. Can we have the government contract?
Yeah, I could easily see that. I could also see that, I mean, especially the whole probing thing, because that's, if you're trying to get an idea of, okay, it's going to take X resources to knock over, say, a VeriSign or the AT&T backbone or the Verizon backbone, that's, you're not doing that just so it's like, gee, I wonder what it would take. You're doing that to catalog it so that you can decide whether or not to expend those resources.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I need to knock this over. I know it takes this, so you can just turn on the button and go.
This is not a one-man organization from a bedroom in South California.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Fairly certain it's got to be coming from Palo Alto. Anyways. No. The funny part, though, is, you know, he's saying, thinking it's China or Russia. How do we know? Okay, DDoS is hard to attribute in the first place, but I'd be willing to bet it's one of our own damned services. You know, one of our own intelligence agencies, not just Russians or the Chinese, because
the call is coming from inside the house scenario.
Well, why not? If the NSA... Yeah. So, okay, think about it. The NSA has said, or was it the CIA? One of the intelligence agencies during Turkey's coup a couple months ago said it was a major mistake not blocking the internet. That the rebels did not shut down the internet, which allowed the governing powers to call for help.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So that it stands to logic that the organization that said that would want the capability to shut down the internet if something was going on here. And you can't just, okay, in the United States, it would be bad form to have the government order the internet blocked for X amount of time due to whatever reason. So being able to say, oh, no, look, it's hackers. It's hackers knocking down the network. You know, it's anonymous doing it.
Actually, because most of it's state-controlled, right? Like state law. Could a single state decide to block the internet on its own? This is where we need madmen for this sort of, because I'm not up on my state laws or telecommunication laws state by state, but you know, say in the recent riots in Missouri or whatever, could they just shut that down to stop Vox streamers and stuff like that from going out?
I suppose there's no reason they couldn't. The way it would depend on the individual state's constitution whether or not that power falls to the cities or the counties, or is it held at the state level. And different states have different constitutions, obviously. But communications, it depends on whether or not you want to consider communications interstate, part of interstate commerce, as to whether it falls under federal or state jurisdiction. Because I could see both arguments on it, blocking it at the borders, but at the same time, it's interstate commerce, so I could see them saying the federal government has control over it, and the FCC would most likely say they have final say. But this would give them a way to shut it down without looking like they're shutting it down.
Yeah.
They face at the same time, say, oh no, it was hackers doing it at the exact same time. Those damn Chinese. I guess it's Russia we blame now for all the attacks. So, and just as somebody who works in the security industry in my day job, seeing all the attacks immediately attributed to Russia or China with no actual reasoning behind it other than just, oh, it must be the Chinese, oh, it must be the Russians. Like the DNC shit where it's like, oh yeah, it was the Russian hackers.
Yeah.
You have absolutely zero evidence of who did this.
It's almost cringeworthy at this point to the level of how many people is like, well, hackers only exist in Japan and Russia.
Yeah.
Especially ones that are fucking with the state.
No, they're all over the place.
It used to be you had to have a physical presence in each country to do espionage. Not so much anymore.
Yeah. So,
and it could be just different organizations probing to see what would actually take to knock over these ISPs.
Absolutely.
Say one of them is under massive attack. Well, suddenly the NSA swoops down and says, look, we've got this. We already know where your weakest part of your infrastructure is. Oh, how's that? Night of the 24th? and you gave a big press conference about the Russians and the Chinese? Yeah, no, that was us.
Hang on, let me get out my Chinese hat for you. It's like, yeah. So, I don't know, man. I just... I hate the whole attribution without any evidence whatsoever, because it's...
Yeah. Show me where the attack came from.
And the worst part is...
And then I'll show you a VPN.
Attribution is one of the hardest things to do in an attack. That's one of the reasons why all the attacks on Tor are based around getting malware to run on the system visiting the website that they've taken over, right? It's because otherwise, if you don't have the actual computer that's your endpoint beaconing out somehow, it is insanely difficult to figure out where it's actually coming from. SSH tunnels, VPN, as you just mentioned, hell, just being able to bounce off of a poorly configured server.
Yeah. Either way.
So, anyways, let's go on to current events here. First story up is from Torrent Freak. Chrome and Firefox are blocking the Pirate Bay over harmful programs. Chrome and Firefox are actively blocking direct access to the Pirate Bay's download pages. According to Google's Safe Browsing Diagnostic Service, the Pirate Bay contains harmful programs, most likely triggered by malicious advertisements running on the site. Komodo DNS also shows a hacking warning, but this disappeared after a few hours. Starting a few hours ago, Chrome and Firefox users were unable to access the Pirate Bay's torrent download pages without running into a roadblock. Instead of a page filled with the latest torrents, visitors now see an ominous red warning banner when they try to grab a torrent. The site ahead contains harmful programs, Google Chrome informs its users. Attacks on thepiratebay.org might attempt to trick you into installing programs that harm your browsing experience by changing your homepage or showing you ads. Firefox displays a similar message, which is not surprising because Firefox uses... the Google Safe Browsing Database, the same one Chrome uses. So if Chrome's got a website blocked as malware, which is what this is the safe browsing thing, then Firefox and Chrome, if it's in that system, they're both going to be showing it blocked, so it's no surprise. So that would mean this is not a... They're lumping Firefox here into this, but Firefox is just using Google's service for the Safe Browsing Database. though, I think it's more a decision on Google's part whether or not they're blocking this. And just for fun, Pirate Bay comes up for me. Let me hit browse torrents. Pick something here. I don't know, ebooks. And WordPress automatic plugin. Sure, why not? That's a page. I'm just kind of going to anything. First link that came up. Reported unwanted software page. It's still blocked.
Well,
so it's blocked on the it's blocked on that's the safe browsing
everybody
database.
Back to Internet Explorer.
Yeah.
At this point, fuck it, I'll go buy the movie. If that's what it's gonna take, fuck it, I'm buying it. Well played, Microsoft.
Yeah, the homepage and search is freely variable. Torrents detail pages now show the following banner. They both rely on Google's Safe Browsing Report, which currently lists the Pirate Bay as a dangerous site in addition to the two browsers. People who use Komodo's secure DNS also experienced a problem reaching the site. I don't think that's a lot of people, because I'll be honest, Komodo's browser is never really excited me. They fork Firefox and put a bunch of their plugins in it, basically. So I've never been all that. At least I thought it was Firefox. Maybe it's Chrome based. Or Chromium. Doesn't matter. I've never been all that impressed with it. Komodo DNS still blocks access to ExtraTorrent as the second largest pirate site. Secure DNS provider accuses ExtraTorrent of spreading malicious content. Safe Browsing doesn't report anything with ExtraTorrent's name. This isn't the first time Komodo has blocked torrent sites, and usually the warnings disappear a few hours or days. Until then, users can add the domains to a whitelist to regain access. So Chrome and Firefox users should be familiar with these intermittent warning notices and can bypass them if they are in a gutsy mood. So it looks like censorship. It
smells like censorship. It walks like censorship.
It's probably not. They probably had, a virus in one of the ads. I mean, fuck, it happened to Forbes. Right after Forbes put up the thing saying if you run ad block, you can't visit our site. So, I have a feeling one of the ads had something in it. It got all their pages flagged. But it's the Pirate Bay, so I doubt Google is going to be working any overtime to get them delisted, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, however, that said, it could be that Google's finally caved in and put the block in place to make, copyright complainers happy, because they've been after Google to block the Pirate Bay for years, and it would be an easy way to do it without actually blocking it, you know what I mean? It's like, oh no, it's got malware on it. We can't let you go there.
Yeah, could you see the disappearance of the Pirate Bay and maybe WikiLeaks if the United Nations gets their hands on?
Oh yeah, they would just say, "I'm sorry, but you're not complying with the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and therefore we are denying you IP space and DNS space."
Yeah,
so that would be an easy thing. It's like, oh no, the TPP requires actually that you meet these standards if you want to continue operating as a fully accredited and licensed web page.
Now mount your argument for why they shouldn't do that. It's pretty fucking hard to do.
So, not only that, I've got a fun story about that later. Because apparently Congress was going to try to block it, and old Obama, he came out with a freaking hilarious argument. But we'll get to that one when we get to it. Next one up is from the BBC. And or you sent me this right before the show. He sent me both the BBC stories we're getting ready to do, and I thought it was funny to do them in order.
Yes, I'm a shill for the BBC now.
That's fine. Got to shill for something, right? Anyways, lewd act forces change to New York Wi-Fi kiosk. Free web browsing on the 400 kiosks will be disabled. Internet kiosks around New York City are being updated to stop them being used inappropriately. Free web browsing on the 400 kiosks will be disabled to stop people from viewing pornography websites and to prevent individuals from using them for too long. The change comes after several New Yorkers reported people committing lewd acts in the booths. So New York, side note, New York set up telephone booths with Wi-Fi terminals, basically.
And no filtering.
Yeah, the kiosks will still offer free phone calls, Wi-Fi, charging points, maps, and access to emergency services. Charging points. God, that seems like a bad idea. It's like, yeah, here, let me just go plug my phone into this random-ass USB port out in the middle of nowhere and see what happens.
There's absolutely nothing go wrong there, like having open Wi-Fi that's accessible on the street with pornography accessible.
I'd be afraid some jackhole would put a, like one of those USB ramp-up devices that, you know, shocks and destroys everything you plug into it.
Yeah.
Or just runs, you know, runs 120 volts AC into one of the damn things. And I'd be terrified that somebody would do shit like that. I'd be like, no, you plug your phone in first. I want to see if it catches fire.
I mean, I'm worried about getting some malicious application.
Yeah, that sucked too.
You know, that's why I'm not a fan of the USB charging dock.
I actually use the wireless charger quite a bit on my phone nowadays. It's probably safer.
You've lost me. I've got no idea how to even use that shit.
Oh, it's the old Tesla wireless thing where you have two coils. It's two halves of a transformer, and just when you put one close enough, it senses it and ramps up the power through the first coil.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. So, free web browsing on the... Oh, I already read this. Where was
I? I wonder if it was just homeless people, you know, just, you know, on RedTube or something like that in the middle of the night.
Google's parent company Alphabet and the chipmaker Qualcomm are both investors in the consortium behind the scheme. In an update, Link in your NYC said it removed web access while it explored ways to tackle some unexpected challenges that had emerged from their use. Local news websites in New York reported on citizens witnessing lewd acts in and around the booths on several occasions. Link NYC sought to resolve this problem when it emerged earlier this year by adding a filtering system to stop people reaching porn sites on the public screens. However, many regular users of the kiosk found ways around the blocks and continued using them in this way. Are you really sitting there in the middle of public just spanking it? I mean, really? Because that's...
Dude!
I know. The answer is yes, people are.
Yeah.
But it's just like, really?
Not my cup of tea, but...
I guess if you're into exhibition here...
Yeah. Well, New York is a very liberal, you know, progressive place. Sometimes it's just a sexual emergency.
There are also reports about homeless people monopolizing the kiosks and stopping other people from using them. The kiosks were never intended for anyone's extended personal use, said Link NYC. It said it was exploring ways to impose time limits and that it was looking into other ways to stop inappropriate use. Yeah, they're going to put spikes on the ground or around it. You know, that's the usual way to keep homeless
every
away,
5 minutes.
It?
Every 5 minutes, they just shoot up out of the ground.
Jeffrey Berndonkais? I'm thinking that's a made-up name. A homeless man interviewed by the Wall Street Journal said he often used the kiosks every day to listen to music. I appreciate it very much, he told the newspaper, and if they take that, it would be a little upsetting. By 2019, Link NYC hopes to have more than 4,555 kiosks spread across New York. Porn for everyone. So, yeah. It doesn't surprise me that people are pulling up porn on it. It surprises me that people are pulling up porn on it and then sitting there making use of it.
Yeah, it's a nice big wide-brimmed hat with some LEDs on top. And you've got yourself a secure outdoor tour network that you can walk around selling drugs through, you know?
I'd be looking for USB ports on the damned things to see if I could inject code on them.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing, building a botnet?
One grid street at a time. What are you going to attack? I don't know. I'm going to pretend to be a Chinese man on the weekend for lols and go up with some Clinton Foundation information.
That'd be great. So.
No, but you know, who see, this is where they need to hire me. Forward thinking. So, what do you think about this? Are you fucking kidding? People are going to beat it in the middle of the street. You know, there was no one there with the foresight.
No, there wasn't, because you know it's all about the good intentions we're providing a service to New York and everyone can have free Wi-Fi. Oh, great! So we're going to put everybody on the same damned Wi-Fi network.
Is there no one there that's good? Like some, there must be no deviants in that place.
None of them were. You probably had several of them kind of looking around. It's like, am I the first one to say, are they going to 4chan? No, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say that people could go to 4chan. That would mean admitting I know what it is.
You're actually probably 100% right there. They're all looking at each other like deer in headlights as Ted gives the presentation about how the company's going forward with its, you know, great humanity.
Has Ted ever been to Red Tube? Bill, do you know if Ted's ever been to Red Tube?
Oh, well, yeah, motherless for everyone. Anyway.
Oh, God. I'd forgotten about that one. Shit.
Oh, Dave, we could go even further down the rabbit hole. E-fucked.
Oh, I'm well aware that the rabbit hole is endless. I'm just saying that was not the first one that came to mind. So continuing on the BBC here, because I think this is funny. European Commission plans free Wi-Fi in public spaces. You know, after seeing New York's example.
Yeah, because nothing will go wrong. Absolutely nothing. This will be flawless.
The European Commission wants free Wi-Fi to be provided in public spaces across its member states within 4 years. The goal was announced by the president of the European Union's executive body, Jean-Claude Juncker. Is the guy's name really Jean-Claude Juncker?
Yep.
Wow. How do you get elected to office with a name like Juncker?
No one votes for you. That's how you do it.
Oh, that's right. European Union. You were correct.
Yeah, this guy wasn't elected. He's just sort of... He went, I'll do it. And everyone went, yeah, okay.
So, let's see. He wants at least one city in each EU country to have deployed a 5G mobile network by 2020. However, except one expert cast doubt over whether the public would benefit. European officials have struggled to deliver on earlier promises to abolish mobile roaming fees. Really? They want to abolish... Wait a minute. European officials on how to abolish... Oh, that's right. The European governments are autocratic. They expect companies to do what they're told. I forgot.
Yes.
That's right. There was a reason I didn't like the idea that ICANN was going to an international body. The new pledges may not apply to the UK because it may have quit the EU before the end of the decade. They're like, well, you know, if UK gets out in time, they don't have to do it. But if they're still in, limited funds. Mr. Juncker said digital technologies were permeating every aspect of life, so everyone should be able to get online. Everyone benefiting from connectivity means it should not matter where you live or how much you earn. I think he's forgetting the part that you still need a device.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, yeah, sure, you can get the little, you know, $100 Android tablet, but you're not going to do that much with it. You need a, you know, if you want to run a YouTube channel, you need about $1,000 worth of laptop and about as much, again, in software if you're going to do it legit.
Yeah, I find this idea is absolutely retarded because, yes, you should be limited by how much money you have because, you know, I love racing. It's an integral part of my life. I demand access to a race car and everything that entails because it's an integral part of my life.
Yeah, everyone in public should get a race car.
I can't afford it, so the government should give it to me because that's how important I am. Do you see where the whole limiting aspect of this is? This is bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
It should not be a fucking human right. It should be a luxury.
So we propose today to equip every European village and every city with free wireless internet access around the main centers of public life by 2020. So, you know, the ISP business model be damned. A fact sheet for his Wi-Fi for EU plan states that it applies to parks, squares, libraries, and public buildings. However, it makes it clear that the commission plans to spend a maximum of 120 million euros to install the necessary equipment, and that local bodies will have to cover the subscription costs, maintenance, and other expenses. Oh, God. We've seen this kind of shit before where the federal government went in and hired a whole bunch of cops and then expected the states to pick up the tab after like 2 years. Yeah. Cops got laid off like mad after Clinton's little thing.
The town of 250 people tucked away in the hills of France are going to need to have an infrastructure now that barely is covered for, like, village life. This shit is stupid.
Mark Newman, chief analyst at the telecoms consultancy ConnectivityX, said 120 euros doesn't sound like a huge amount of investment. Many towns, cities, and people can already find free Wi-Fi. I would question whether frugal councils will really see it as a priority to deliver free Wi-Fi in their buildings and squares. The 5G pledge was also less impressive than it sounded. The 5G standard won't be ready until 2018. Doesn't see spectrum licenses, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, this isn't really a problem that needs solved, and the rest of it is people basically saying this is stupid. So I
think it's one of those days in the EU where they're like, oh, we need something soft and progressive. Yeah, free Wi-Fi for everyone. Fuck it. Time for drinks. We've done our personal good for the day.
I could easily see that. Because they're only talking about 120 million euros.
It's nothing. And
that they're not going to pay. So they're going to buy the equipment and mandate that it's installed and say, guess what, every township, you got to pay the several thousand a month it's going to take to run this thing. Yeah,
they've just imported a shit ton of fucking really cheap labor.
We're gonna make Syrians and other refugees walk around to be Wi-Fi hotspots. We're gonna have the whole Wi-Fi hotspots. That's gonna be awesome.
You know, dude, cheaper than erecting a pole.
It's like, here, I don't care what language you speak, just walk around and hold this above your head. Make sure you're always moving at least twice. You know, you have to move around X amount to keep it charged.
All right, here's your Telstra helmet for the day. Yeah, your streets are 54th, 58th, and 56th. If you could just walk up and down them for 8 hours, that would be great. See you back here at the end of shift, Ahmed.
Turn the crank to keep it charged. Oh, that'd be a hell
actually,
of a
no,
job.
You gotta have a little monkey and a grinding head thing to keep it going. Because that's just not racist enough. That'd be great.
Oh, next up is from Ars Technica. Signal had a bug. The Signal private messenger, the one that everybody is saying is secure. Yeah. Had a problem. Signal, the mobile messaging app recommended by NSA leaker Edward Snowden and a large number of security professionals, just fixed a bug that allowed attackers to tamper with the contents of encrypted messages sent by Android users. The update is available on this GitHub submission, and it is not yet available in the Google Play market. The authentication bypass vulnerability was one of two weaknesses found by researcher Jean-Philippe Osman and Marcus Viver in an informal review of the Java code used by the Android version of Signal. The bug made it possible for attackers to compromise a Signal server or were otherwise able to monitor data passing through Signal users to replace valid attachments with fraudulent ones. Oh, shit. Yeah, here, look at this photo. You know, the one with the vector code in it. A second bug possibly would have allowed attackers to remotely execute malicious code, and a third bug made limit exploits, they could crash it. So it just shows that any software is not perfect and drew attention from many security researchers. It's impressive that no vulnerability was ever published until today. Want to bet those vulnerabilities are in the iOS version as well, first and foremost. Actually, I don't know that there is an iOS version of Signal. I haven't looked at it that closely. Anytime the mainstream is saying, oh, this is a secure messaging app, I kind of, you know, Signal and Telegraph, I'm sitting there going, like, if it's being touted that loudly by the news, I'm skeptical, you know?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
It's like, no, if this was truly a secure messaging app, they'd be trying to get it pulled off. They'd be shutting the hell up about it. They wouldn't be saying, everybody use this!
I just don't inherently trust phones, man. I don't know what's with me. I just can't get on board and trust them.
So, I'm not saying that Signal is backdoored, but God, it feels like that sometimes.
Well, if you got nothing to hide,
Yeah, nothing to hide, nothing to say. It's not that I have anything to hide today. I just don't know what's going to be taboo in the next 30 years. So, we see 20 years ago you happened to click a bad link and went to 4chan, and so we're taking you to jail.
Yeah, you hate speech thinker.
Yeah, or you never know what's going to be considered a like a racial slur or something down the road yeah. either. Like, you know, the first time I heard the classic example, at least for our group, was WOG. First time I heard that was out of Sean Kennedy's mouth. I never knew it was a racial slur until much, much later.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think he knew it was either, because I think he got it from Scientology.
Yeah, that's where I think he got it from.
But I'm sure there's tons of shit like that. So, you know, how long before they went back and said, well, you accused somebody of being an SJW, to prison with you? I mean,
oh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
It's just natural in some systems for there occasionally to be a fire.
Big fire.
Next story is from Torrent Freak. The 28-year-old former operator of a French-based torrent site has been ordered to serve a year in jail and pay a 5 million euro fine. A moderator received a 4-month sentence, a suspended sentence, and somewhat unusually, 4 regular users of the site were tracked down by their IP address and they received custodial sentences. Whenever anti-piracy groups decide to take action against a large file-sharing platform, they do so on the basis of achieving crushing punishments for their operators. Only severe punishments can stop hardcore pirates, they argue. Or, you know, what? Not locking your shit down and letting people actually use your products at a reasonable price as opposed to, you know... Well, anyways, in France, a similar situation has been playing out. Back in June of 2015, following a 4-month investigation, people connected to the public torrent site OMG Torrent were arrested and taken into custody. Early claims suggest the site had offered downloads of more than 10,000 pirated movies. Is that all? Founded in 2008, the site had built up a solid user base of about 3.5 million visitors per month. Police insisted it was a for-profit project. The people behind the platform do not do it for fun, though the platform, they earn a lot of money, the police spokesman said at this time. Dude, have you seen what AdSense revenue is? It ain't a lot of money unless you're fucking PewDiePie. Even if they offer movies without requiring compensation, they earn money from various advertisements that appear alongside. Searches of two subjects' homes yielded several computers. Because God knows you're not going to find that in the average household this day and age. Plus more than 3.5 terabytes of the latest movies. 3.5 terabytes?
Is that all?
That's it? Dude, my file server over here has got 8 terabytes, and it's made out of junk and trash. I mean...
I know of 2 larger ones than that.
Oh, yeah, fuck.
Like that.
I know Sarge's
private.
Got a massive one.
I didn't want to say names, but...
Oh, right, file server. I thought we were talking about something else. but,
yeah. I mean, that 3 terabytes is fuck all.
So what? I mean... Yeah, 3.5 terabytes of the latest movies. Well, if they're working on Blu-ray copies, that's like 1 movie. A separate server found overseas contained several thousand more. Movies or terabytes? Several thousand more movies? Whoop-dee-doo.
Yeah, I'm going to go with movies, not terabytes.
Yeah. Police warned that the site's operators could face 10 years in jail, plus millions in damages, but they weren't going to stop there. Their investigators have led them to 4 of the site's top downloaders, who they intend to prosecute for receiving stolen goods.
What?
Receiving stolen goods. Show me the person who's missing the original copy.
Exactly.
I mean, they're missing revenue from potential sales, okay, but there's not anything physically gone. There's potential things gone. After more than a year, 6 people connected with the site have now been sentenced, and that's a harsh punishment all around. Following a hearing in March, yesterday, the criminal court of Châlons-Champagne in Marne?
Yeah, no idea.
Sorry, I'm too American. Sentenced the founder of OMG Torrent to 1 year in prison. The 28-year-old was also ordered to pay a fine of around 5 million euros for the unauthorized distribution of copyrighted works. Who's he paying the fine to? The French government, I would assume. But, what?
Being 28 years old, He's not making that much money.
No, not to mention you just send him to prison, which means he's never going to have a job to be able to pay this kind of shit off.
No.
You've just destroyed his life.
No, technically no. He hasn't really done anything. He'll be able to get employment again.
Let's see.
He'll be given top grade education, health care, and all that stuff in a European prison. Yeah, you don't get gang raped by niggers in a European prison. It's actually humane.
Also sentenced was a 38-year-old woman who had worked as a moderator on the site. She was given a 4-month suspended sentence and told to pay damages to the plaintiffs in the case. In an unusual turn of events, prosecutors also tracked down 4 of the site's most heavy downloaders. They, too, were given prison sentences of 1 month each and are required to settle with rights holders. Required to settle. That's not settling. I'm sorry. That word doesn't mean what you think it does.
The rights holders come after them for damages, they have to hear.
Yeah, they have to basically take it up the ass. They can't even argue. They are required to settle. Based on an investigation carried out by ALPA, Association Against Audiovisual Piracy, the prosecution estimated that damages exceeded 20 million euros. Following the decision, the site's founder posted an update on the Werezines forum. I've been fined a total of 5 million euros for financial damages, 12 months imprisonment, and 4 more for a former sentence. Or 4 more from a former sentence. My mod has had to pay approximately a million euros for financial damage, he wrote. Others who have downloaded, I don't know the amount for them, but far exceeds half a million euros. Note, they seized the servers and used them to get the IP addresses of the big downloaders of content. Why were you logging that? You're running a piracy website. Why were you keeping logs?
Do you want to bet they kept it running for a week after arresting these guys?
Oh, they had to have.
Yeah. Or they were watching it before they arrested them.
Or the guys running it didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah. I think that the days of that are over, but public accessibility and getting a user content, a user base, are over, where more people are setting up their own streaming channels and hosting their own movies, things like that.
Well, yeah, you pretty much have to, because all the major platforms are... you saw the shit with YouTube last month.
Yeah, I prefer pirate channels anyway. It's always good to get your own content and create your own playlist, but occasionally you just want to sit back and let someone else drive for a couple of hours.
That's true, although I love the quote here from the founder. Lashing out at those who handed in, the admin said the judgment had really hurt. He said he understands why he needed to be punished, but those lower down the chain, the sentences were beyond comprehension.
I think so.
To all the anti-piracy groups and authorities, you are a lot of vile shit, destroying the lives of people who are just already struggling to pay the rent, their food, their bills. Why all this? Because they wanted to watch, and because they didn't necessarily have the capability to buy a DVD or Blu-ray or go to the theaters. Listing the country's most popular torrent indexes, trackers, and download sites, the admins declared that they would never fall. Where's is a Hydra? Oh god, they're still calling it Where's. Where's is a Hydra? If you cut off one head, 10 will grow back. You'll never kill this beautiful community. I should find the original Where's song. That thing was awesome. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I have no idea.
You've never heard the original Where's song?
No, it's one that's missed me.
Oh, shit. I need to go find a copy of that. I need to tack that on the stream. That is awesome.
Are you in the IRC right now?
Yes.
Get one of the flying monkeys in there to go find it for you while you go to the next story.
Hardly anybody in there. So... I just check if this is it. Yep, that's it. And the cat is chewing on wires. Damn it! Stop it! Leave that
Minox.
Thing alone.
Cats are just four-legged Minox.
Well, I'm sitting here looking at the thing, and it's like, what has he got? Oh god, he's got a custom fan cable I made a while back. Like, one, how the hell did he get that? And two, quit chewing on it. It's power wires. So, okay, yes, that's the right one. Let me get that downloading in the background, because I want to tack that on the end of the show. That is classic if you've not heard that. Get this going. I think this one works. Yep, this one will work. Cool.
And that's what they call doing it on the fly.
Bucket, we'll do it live. So, anyways, next story up is from hackernews.com. And I think Cykros did find the same one. I'm looking at the YouTube link there, but it is a classic, and it is worth hearing at least once.
Awesome.
So, what happens if, can I just drag and drop this over here? Maybe not. View. I'm trying to remember how the hell I put tracks on the file server or on the broadcast box without bouncing it out to the file server.
It's been way too long since I've been in there, man. I've got no idea.
I know. I'm just trying to remember how to do this. There's a way to do it.
Yeah.
Open file transfer. There it is. Here we go.
So many cuts all over my hands at the moment. Gotta rub my hands. They start bleeding again. God damn it.
And don't make your hands bleed. That's never good.
No, I just, like, every now and then I get, cramps in my fingers, so I just started rubbing my hands like I usually do. I'm like, man, it's getting really slip. Oh, crap.
You look down and it's like, oh, shit, that's blood.
Yeah, you get the 2-3-day-old really light, crispy scabs on those little...
Yeah.
And those little tiny little shallow cuts on your fingers just bleed like you need 6 stitches.
There we go. All right, next article up is from thehackernews.com. And the USB kill has been released. This is a... The killer USB stick was... They just showed it off last year. It was basically a capacitor bank on a USB bus that would charge them up to a couple thousand volts and
holy
then
shit.
Release it back into the computer. The idea was that if you needed to kill a computer quickly, you just plug this into it. A proof of concept USB prototype that was designed by Russian researcher Dark Purple last year to effectively destroy sensitive components of a computer when plugged in. Now someone has actually created the killer USB stick that destroys almost anything, laptops, PCs, or televisions it's plugged into. A Hong Kong-based technology manufacturer is selling a USB thumb drive called USB Kill 2.0 that can fry any unauthorized computer it's plugged into by inducing a power surge via the USB port. Cat, get down. Hey. Sorry. Get down. I don't know why he's being a little ass tonight. A Hong Kong-based technology manufacturer is selling a USB thumb drive called USB Kill 2.0 that can fry any unauthorized computer it's plugged into by introducing a power surge via the USB port. It costs $50. So, as the company explains, when it's plugged in, the USB Kill 2.0 rapidly charges its capacitors via the USB power supply, then it discharges, all in a matter of seconds. It discharges 200 volts DC power onto the data lines of the host machine, and this charge and discharge cycle is repeated several numbers of times in just 1 second until the USB kill stick is removed. When tested on computers, the device isn't designed or intended to erase data, the company says. However, depending on the hardware configuration, SSDs or versus planar hard drives, the drive controllers may be damaged to the point that the data retrieval is impractical. Any public-facing USB port should be considered an attack vector, the company says in a news release. In data security, these ports are often locked down to prevent exfiltration of data or infiltration of malware, but are unprotected against electrical attack. putting a taser next to it and hitting the button.
I'm just trying to think, where would this be part of your arsenal?
Well, if you wanted to cover your tracks...
Yeah, but it doesn't erase data.
No, it just destroys the main board that you plugged it into. So for
just
and who
let someone know really quickly that I've been to that terminal.
Yeah,
and USB I've done something obviously malicious.
Well, listen to this shit. USB kill stick could be a boon for whistleblowers, journalists, activists, and cyber criminals who want to keep their sensitive data away from law enforcement and cyber thieves. It is like if you're caught, kill yourself. In the same fashion as terrorists do. Here, the data is on your laptop. If law enforcement has caught it, USB kill stick does the same thing for you. It kills your laptop. The company claims to have developed USB Kill 2.0 for the sole purpose of allowing companies to test their devices against USB power surge attacks. That's awesome. I've got some bunch of these DC to DC converter boards I got on the cheap off Amazon. I was thinking one of those jacked up as high as it would go, taking the USB power lines and plugging into the data lines, would probably do the same thing without needing to charge capacitors. Although I think it's got capacitors on it. So I think it maxed out at like 30 volts or something like that, so that might not be enough to actually destroy the laptop. But yeah, that's why I don't trust USB charging stations that you can't see where the power's coming from. Like, if you can't see the little USB power brick, I'd honestly be afraid of plugging my phone in for the fear that it's got one of these things on it. You know?
Yep.
So, never minding the whole malware and bricking your and, you know, putting shit on your phone. But anyways, last story I have for tonight is stupid. It's from Reuters. Post the links. Blocking internet oversight transition is a gift to Russia, according to the Obama administration. Delaying or blocking a planned transition of oversight of the internet's technical management and from the U.S. to a global community of stakeholders, which they never defined, would be a gift to Russia and other authoritarian regimes, a senior Obama administration official said Wednesday. The comments before a congressional panel came as several Republican lawmakers are attempting to thwart the changeover due to occur on October the 1st, arguing it would be it would stifle online freedom and has not been appropriately vetted. I urge you, do not give a gift to Russia and other authoritarian nations by blocking this transition. Lawrence Strickling, Administrator of the U.S. Commerce Department's National Telecommunications and Information Association, told the Senate subcommittee. The plan, announced on March 2014 to transfer oversight of the Nonprofit Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, or ICANN, is expected to go forward unless Congress votes to block the handover. The California-based corporation operates the database of domain names such as .com and .net and their corresponding numeric addresses that allow computers to connect. The U.S. Commerce Department currently oversees the Internet's management, largely because it was invented in the United States. Its contract with ICANN will lapse on October 1st. Senator John Thune, a senior Republican from South Dakota, told reporters Tuesday he expected lawmakers would add language to delay the Internet transition to a bill to fund the government past the end of September, because God knows we can't pass an actual budget. Strickling's testimony were an attempt to rebut concerns raised by Republican Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, who convened and chaired Wednesday's hearing on the internet, and other Republicans who have argued in recent weeks that the transition would be a giveaway of internet control to Russia, China, and other governments that censor internet access. I'm pretty sure the EU is going to do it too. When ICANN escapes from government authority, ICANN escapes from having to worry about protecting your or my rights, Cruz said. ICANN does not have the ability to censor the internet, the corporation's CEO, Goran Marbley, said during the hearing. Well, that's technically true at a point, but whereas they're not censoring it, they can make it extremely difficult to find things that they don't like.
Yeah.
Tech companies, technical experts, academics have said the transition is overdue and is necessary to keep the internet open and globally oriented, and that proposed included safeguards against any potential abuse by any one country. Delaying the transition to the multi-stakeholder global giant may also weaken U.S. credibility and future international negotiations as the United States and elsewhere around the internet standards and security, thus empowering countries like Russia and China. So, because we're not shooting at ourselves in the foot, Russia and China are going to say we're bullies, and that's going to hurt our stance on the world stage?
And if you kill your enemies, they win.
So, but here's the thing. How are we... So, okay, by us maintaining control of ICANN, the United States, I should say, maintaining control of ICANN, that's not empowering Russia or China, because we still have control over it. So we're, in fact, ensuring that Russia and China are not abusing this international position. So, I don't...
Do you go quantify it with a progressive stack?
I'm at a loss.
I don't even know what that means, but I hear it a lot these days for arguments. Yeah, just don't kill your enemies, man, because that meant some win.
Yeah, sure. That's how that works.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right.
However long mankind's been around and in tribes, you know, suddenly we're all one great tribe that never should argue or fight again.
Just accept whatever the liberals tell us.
Thousands of years of actual instinct, just being told to pack it up and fuck off, that there is no more majority or anything like that.
Oh, fuck. Cycros is on to me. He said Morps is having a coughing fit. He's secretly Hillary.
No, I am Hillary. I'm Morps' double.
Ah! Yeah, because you and I look so much alike.
We do.
Oh, fuck. All right, let's go on with this.
I've seen the movie Twins.
Hadouken! Just because I'm going bald.
So am I. We have two things in common now.
All right. First story, or first thing in decking, is from Decking Dojo. Ah, I'll get it right eventually. I have been drinking bourbon. It's from the blog insilo.com. Today's Microsoft September Patch Tuesday included a patch to see what they have tagged as a fix for Microsoft Office. Behind the scenes, this is actually a fix for what's called Microsoft's Detours project. And what this is a commercial product they sell to software developers for hooking into Windows, the Windows kernel. So like your antivirus virtualization software, tons of stuff uses this product to do the deep integrations into Windows. So the vulnerability behind the Microsoft Office fix, MS-160137, lies Microsoft's commercial hooking engine named Detours. Hooking techniques enable products to monitor or change the behavior of operating system functions. I just explained that. Right. So there's tons of things that use this. It's been out for 10 years. They sell it as extremely stable software. Given the lengthy process of time and notification for Microsoft patch release, we can imagine Microsoft worked with Detours customers so that customers included updated Detour versions. On the customer side, once they have fixed the Detour version, that requires recompiling the product and delivering an updated product to their customers. So, they've released a tool called Captain Hook to help you find vulnerable versions of Detours in software.
Nice.
It's a way of finding software that's going to be vulnerable to code injection, code execution. So you run it as admin. It scans through all the usage of software on your machine and tells you what's using Microsoft Detours. If you haven't updated it in the past, I don't know, week or so, you've got vulnerable software on your hand. It's a neat tool. It's a way of seeing what's been fixed. And I kind of like that even if the stuff has been fixed, it's still exposing what's using this Detour engine, which I think is just interesting.
Yeah. It's always good to know what you're running.
Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then the last thing I have for tonight in Digital Dojo is called Umbra. This is yet another encrypted umbra.shadowproject.io. This is an encrypted Tor/I2P chat and marketing client. They have their own cryptocurrency called Shadow Coins, I believe is what it's called. Yeah, Shadow Coins.
No idea.
Yeah, Shadow Cash. So they have their own version of BitTorrent. It's running over Tor and I2P. And it's a chat and file transfer. And I think it has a voice chat. I don't remember if it has voice chat yet. But it's got a market and a currency on it. So it's interesting. I've been intending to play with it for weeks, but I just haven't got a chance to get around to it. But it's yet another encrypted messenger, and it's going over Tor. And it doesn't look like a... it's made by Shadow Project. It doesn't look like a one of these massive commercial things, and it's not a big app. So it's probably more secure than Signal. Especially since they're building up on top of a lot of known crypto. So, but anyways, so I think it's a neat RAM. I've been meaning to play with it. I just haven't had the chance, so I can't give you a great review of it. But and I hope they had a voice chat component. It kind of looks like a an app version of Silk Road, truthfully.
Interesting.
So, something to play with. And the real question, though, is can I convert all my Doge coins into Shadow Cash? Because I have nearly 500 Doge coins.
Wow.
Yeah, it's worth about a cent.
I don't know how much this stuff's worth.
Yeah, they're not worth jack. So, anyways, that's all I've got. You have anything before we play the Where's song and close out the show?
No, I got nothing, man.
All right.
The day I got hooked up to the mighty internet, I was hooked to a world that I'd never forget. Websites, chat rooms, IRC, and live video streams. Online multimedia that looked like LSD dreams. Then I got my hands on something called QFTP. I was told that I could have what I wanted for free. Went on to some guy's FTP 1:4 ratio. Upload my small file and download Super Mario. Then I heard of something called an MP3 player. Had something to do with music compression and layer. Didn't give a damn about the facts given to me. Just wanted to download songs without buying a CD. Later at my Vivo, Cody's compressed on the net. Download one movie per night as much as I could get. Titanic took a couple more, but less were wet and wild. It was like Christmas every day, and I was a rich man's child. Soon enough, the downloads had to come straight back to me. Turns out it was the feds who ran that awesome FTP. We're setting up a trap for all us online criminals. They said, fuck free speech, it's corrupted our youth, it's all a load of bull. One more game, one more app, one more cereal, one more crack. Where's are the only thing for me? One more game, one more app, one more cereal, one more crack. Someone give the crack for Duke 3D. DCC something, IRC gives to everyone.
There it goes. Couldn't get the damn thing to stop. I was trying to fade it out.
Dude, that should be, somebody should do that for the next Eurovision Song Contest.
That'd be awesome.
That would be hilarious.
It's terrible. It is a terrible track, but it's great fun. Just because
I think it's a good track. It's hilarious.
It's great. I should get you the original
I'd like
file.
To see Latvia or something. You know, do that as a European Song Contest. Sing it as flat as that guy sang it, and then just have, like, dancing fucking furries and waifus and shit like that just running amok.
That's awesome. All right, that's it.